Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Avery Trufelman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Here are your headlines. After calls for a crackdown over the years, state environmental regulators have voted to adopt a drinking water limit for the toxic chemical hexavalent chromium, or chromium 6. Regulators say a limit of up to 10 parts per billion of the chemical balances the expense of meeting the standard by water suppliers and the public's health and safety. Chrome 6 has a variety of industrial uses, including electroplating and stainless steel production. It's hoped other states will follow California's lead in creating their own Chrome 6 drinking water standards. The dangers of the chemical first became widely known in the 2000 movie Aaron Brockovich. A bill that would give California cities and counties the ability to regulate robo-taxi services has passed its first test in the legislature, despite doubts expressed by some lawmakers. KQED's Dan Brecky reports.
SB 915 by San Jose State Senator Dave Cortese would give local officials the ability to set rules for autonomous taxi and delivery services like Waymo. Those regulations could include when and where robo-taxis are allowed to operate, how much they can charge, and more. The bill also includes provisions to ensure the autonomous services accommodate disabled people. State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco voted yes on the bill, but expressed reservations.
I have historically had serious concerns about giving cities broad latitude to significantly restrict or effectively ban modes of transportation, because it creates all sorts of issues in terms of patchwork and can you be in this city or that city.
Cortese argued that local governments already regulate traffic issues and are better suited to the job than state regulators.
For decades and decades and decades, local governments have been protecting school children on safe routes to schools in Madera and in San Jose, in San Diego and Los Angeles, in Elk Grove and in Stockton. Why would that not happen in the same manner just because there's not a human driver behind the wheel?
The committee passed the bill 4-2. The Senate Transportation Committee will take up the measure next week. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecky.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. Get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night, knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
There's a new study out that takes a demographic and socioeconomic snapshot of African Americans in the Golden State. It's called The State of Black California. Its author is Michael Stoll, a professor of public policy at UCLA, who's been involved in this research for more than 20 years, and he joins us now. Professor, your study looks at two big baskets of issues affecting Black Californians in 2024, socioeconomic status and demographics. I want to start with the latter. What kind of population trends do we see among African Americans?
So with respect to demography, well, you know, what we've seen is in the first time in many decades, probably since the time we can observe data for California, is the decrease in the Black population. Though it's not large in magnitude, we still see a decrease. So Black population declined from about 2.2 million to 2.1 million. That's a decline of about 3%. And that reduces the share of Black Californians in the state from about 6.1% to about 5.6%. Coupled with that is also what we see as shifts demographically in the geographic locations of Black Californians. So there's been marked declines in the Bay Area cities of Oakland and San Francisco in Black representation, a substantial loss of Black Californians in Los Angeles. A little over a third of Black Californians live in Los Angeles, but it used to be near 45% 20 years ago. And we see is the emergence of Black residents in the state to places like the Central Valley, to Sacramento, and especially the Inland Empire. And what that means is that almost a quarter of Black Californians now are living outside the major seven metropolitan areas of the state of California, which is the first time we observed this.
Okay, that's an overview of Black demographic trends in the state. But what do we see happening socioeconomically, from education to housing to incomes?
Right. The report looks at racial inequality, looks at the racial gap in outcomes in six different domains that we think make up the quality of life. So it's economics, housing, health, education, criminal justice issues, and civic participation. And so what we saw over the 20-year period is that Black Californians did gain ground on white Californians, but the reduction of the racial inequality gap was very modest, only a 4% reduction. And so we see progress, but it's very slow.
There's this amazing figure in your study that under current rates of progress, it would take nearly 250 years to close the socioeconomic gap between Black Californians and other communities. So how do we accelerate that?
That is the $100,000 question, and that is the main political question of the moment nationally. So what we know historically, Saul, is that when there has been big emphasis by society, either through federal government actions or others, to target resources to improve performance of not only Black Californians, but Black Americans more generally, we see tremendous reduction in racial gaps. So we saw it during Reconstruction. We saw it during right after the Civil Rights Movement in the 1970s. Those are periods when you saw tremendous declines. And there we did it in Reconstruction. We did an investment in land ownership and in political representation and economic opportunity. Same thing in civil rights, through aggressive affirmative action programs that target the well-being of African-Americans, and in this case, Black Californians. But a lot of those tools are increasingly not available. The current policy debate is on the ability to judge people on the content of their character, not on the color of skin. But the problem with that is that it doesn't do anything to close these gaps. So these programs and policies of colorblindness sort of ensures the durability of racial inequality because they're not doing anything to really address the root causes of some of the outcome measures that we see. Our ability and the tools that we have to address this question, if society thinks it's important, is very limited.
All right. We have been speaking to Professor Michael Stoll of UCLA, who's also the author of the State of Black California Report. Professor, thanks for joining us on the California Report.
Great. Thank you.
And that is this edition of the California Report for Thursday, April 18th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thanks for listening and have a great day out there.
Support for the California Report comes from the James Irvine Foundation, now accepting nominations for the 2025 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards at irvineawards.org. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who are working to ensure that people, communities, and the planet can flourish. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy works to create a healthy, resilient, secure world for all, on the web at theschmidt.org.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcast too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.